Okay, we'll get to the episode here in just a second. Want to start off by thanking our friends and title sponsor at Law Chevrolet Buick, Boonville, Indiana. Hometown, family-run, sales and service center. Everything Chevrolet Buick. They're paying top value for trades right now. Also having a GM military discount. Tons of great deals going on at Law Chevy, as always. They're there to help you out. Get something that's going to fit in your budget. It's going to fit with your family and that you're going to get a great deal on and go down the road feeling happy. So go to their website. It's lawautomotivegroup.net. You can check out a lot of their inventory on there. Anytime you want to talk to anybody, you give them a call. Their sales staff will be ready to help you. Dylan Winters, a sales manager, great race car driver, recent Quick 32 winner. He'll get you all set up. Go see Chad in the service department if you need anything. Chad, he's awesome. He'll take great care of you. Just want to say thanks again to Law Chevy and all they've done for us here on Dialed In. And make sure when you go in there, you tell them that you heard it here and that Dialed In told you to go to Law Chevy and that they're going to give you a great deal. So thanks again and let's get on with the episode.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So, Zach, episode 37, you know, it's going to be good. I think that's an understatement because we have a guy that kind of took over social media, everything. I mean, he doesn't even have social media, and he straight laid down the gauntlet. You know, you couldn't scroll three posts without seeing something about him. But before we get into that, we have a little bit of housekeeping notes, a little bit of results coming at you first. So our results, we're going to start off in, well, podcast bump. That's where we're starting off. The podcast bump from Keystone Raceway Park. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this guy in the IHRA, three-time IHRA world champion, Michael Beard, got the win at the IHRA Sportsman Spectacular at Keystone Raceway Park, driving his Loose Rocker Velari. Of course, that was in modified, 19 in the final to get it done. He ran JT Harold from nearby in Pittsburgh. And, you know, you turn the IHRA scoreboards on and you roll Michael Beard into the water box and it's like magic happens. You know, he'll sit there and tell you, yeah, I got lucky, or yeah, you know, I thought I had a good shot. And I, you know, yada, 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 BSU, BSU. But he does it again and again and again.
All right, so in top division, looks like Saturday here, Matt Powell won in top. Also, he won in motorcycle class. So awesome job doubling up there for Matt Powell.
Did he win top with a motorcycle?
No.
Oh, that'd nope, be
an Oldsmobile Cutlass.
That'd be doing the Chad Isley right there.
Yep, and Powell took out Nick Bowman in the final round in Duster. So a couple of 7-second cars in the top final. And then Abigail Romero won the 8-11 category in junior dragsters over Levi Lear. And Macy Stewart took the 12-17 class in juniors and took the win over Samantha Geyser.
Yeah, and Street Joe Tharp Jr. from Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. And the Olds 442 dialed 799 goes dead on the dial to beat Mark Vasbender from also nearby Pennsylvania. They were 1,000 separated on the tree, and Mark just took a little bit too much for the street final. On, I believe this is Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Top ET, another Pennsylvania native, getting the win in top.
AJ Cassini.
AJ Cassini. Yeah, see, look, this is why we do this. I couldn't see AJ anywhere. So AJ Cassini got the win over Rich Corey. Corey turned it red, and Cassini didn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your light is. Your other guy turns it red, you can go ahead and be 100. I'm 100 anyway, so we just do it that way. Mason Fix from New York took the mod on Sunday, the mod trophy on Sunday, 005, and 8 thou under got the job done as Tharp tried to double it up, and he broke out a little bit more on Sunday. So Tharp trying to get it done 2 days in a row at Keystone for the IHRA Sportsman Spectacular. That's it, right?
And then in street class, it was Glenn Perrin that took the win over Tharp in the final. He was 003 in the final round. Glenn Perrin was.
In the street car.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tharp had the better light. 003-67. So way to go, Glenn Perrin, overcoming that starting line deficit to take the win in street. All right, so on Sunday in motorcycles, it was Joe Davola taking the win over Gary Garitano out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, see, I let you fall on the sword right there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can have that.
8-11 juniors. Isabel Ritchie took the win over Corey Schondelmeyer.
See, you're doing great. Keep this
up. I got it.
You could be an announcer.
Kyle Penn took the win in the 12-17 junior dragsters when he defeated Zoe Moser out of Pennsylvania. And that wraps up our results from the IHRA Summit Sportsman Spectacular. The next one of these they have scheduled, which is an awesome value for bracket racers, by the way. It's going to be July 12th through 14th at US 131 Motorsports Park in Martin, Michigan.
So then we roll into the Ace Ohio events. Of course, Ace is Abruzzi, Colangelo, Elrod. They do a spectacular job of putting everything together for everybody that shows up. It's a pretty hot ticket, really, you know, especially being in Ohio. It's kind of hard to get a hold of one of those. And you put the brain trust and the experience of Marco Abruzzi and Jacob Elrod together. Then you throw the, we're going to call him the wild side of it, the wild card of Travis Colangelo, the kind of the guy that the jack of all trades, you know, he's done quite a bit, seen quite a bit, and he's not afraid to try anything once. That event, it obviously spoke for itself. It was very, very well attended. It was very well anticipated. You know, everybody was trying to tune in and watch. They did that on Drag Racer TV. Warren Evans kind of got a deal in there. And Saturday. So, Zach, I went to this race last year, okay? Friday.
Friday.
So Friday, the car I drove at this exact event last year, the car that I rolled in, no more than rolled in the gate, because Chris Reynolds called me and said, hey, how far do you live from Dragway 42? And I'm like, 4 hours and 45 minutes? And it was literally 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, oh, cool, time runs start at 9, you'll have an hour to rest. I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Threw all my stuff in the truck, headed up on to Dragway 42. I no more than pulled in the gate, and this car was pouring transmission fluid as he fired it. I mean, he started warming it up as I pulled in the gate, and it was slinging transmission fluid like it was nobody's business. You know, the yoke for the transmission, I guess it was a common problem, and I had to find somebody to weld it. And, you know, long story short, Sugar Shane took the same car and got the $20,000 payday over Skinny Kenny Underwood. And Sugar Shane, man, he's on a tear. It doesn't really matter what car he's in. It doesn't really matter where he's at. He shows up, shows out, and I mean, it's a good week to be Chris Reynolds.
Yeah, that was a good race. I was watching Friday for a long time. I was watching Scotty take both trucks really deep, and that was kind of a who's who's race on Friday near the end. A lot of big names were running each other, and awesome to see the job that Sugar Shane has done this year and you know, a lot over the years. But man, he's on fire. So whatever he's doing it right. And that's gonna take us into Saturday. And just what can you really say? I mean, this is the day that took the bracket racing world by storm. The videos, if you haven't seen the Winter Circle videos, check it out. Chet Dragon taking the win in the Altered, dialing in the 630s, and took it the win over Fred Krikora. And Chet Dragon laid down 4 total in the final. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and you know, not to ruin the whole interview, but Chet said he raced the same guy like third round the day before, and he was perfect, take 16, 10th hour or something. Like I guess Fred Krikora must have cut Chet off on the way to the staging lanes for time runs Thursday or something. I don't really know, but he kind of just threatened his whole family really with that.
Yeah. But
on Sunday, as Matt Zapp was saying, the announcer there for Ace Ohio, Pro Stock Dave Connolly versus Eric Thomas in the street car.
In the pajama pants.
Pajama pants Eric Thomas. And this is kind of one of those matchups that, you know, it's like a Chet versus Scotty Richardson. You know, it's not every day you see a car like Chet's or a car like Eric's race for $20,000. And, I mean, obviously Chet has proven that it doesn't take a car that needs that. But Dave Connolly is a guy that the race in August at 42 last year, he and Nick Folk, obviously the Folks and the Connollys, you know, they go way back. They were on opposite sides of the ladder at 4 cars, and Dave turned it 00 red and Nick gave it back or vice versa. And you could hear the F-bombs being thrown across the property in that pit area. And, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, that Dave went back, and I think that he's a little happier this time, but he got the $20,000 win on Sunday over Eric Thomas. And I mean, Eric did not lay down junk in the final. Dave was just double O take 9,000, I think. And, you know, it's kind of hard to do on a 760 car, I think, is what I saw. And
yep.
Him and Matt Dattis hopped in the car and tried to go get ice cream or wings or something, and they were closed. I saw that on Facebook. But, I mean, literally still had the dialing on the car, taking it to get food. That's what this is about. That's what makes drag racing awesome. That's what we all aspire to be one day, somehow, some way, you know. Our sport obviously really, really needs something like that, and it's been a weekend to prove that that is completely capable. Friday, yes, you've got Sugar versus arguably one of the greatest racers of all time, two of them battling it out. When it's all said and done, they'll both be in that same argument. But, you know, the rest of the weekend, it kind of just took over. You know, you had people to pull for, you had people to cheer for, you had people to say, you know, that's my guy, you know, that's who's going to win it. That's, you know, throwing money around like loose change. And, you know, it was awesome. And Abruzzi, Colangelo, Elrod did great. And September 5th, they're right back there at Dragway 42 for the September Slam. And I know if you have an American race car, you have a free entry into the American Dragster race. If you have an American race car of any year, you don't have to pay any money. You go down there, race for a dragster. I think you have to buy in the weekend entry that everybody else is buying in for the main event. But it's a strict American race car chassis race, and it's free to enter. The winner gets a brand new rolling chassis, and that's something cool that Colangelo does. You know, I kind of hinted towards not afraid to try anything once. It's the second year he's going to do that. So that'll wrap up the Ace Ohio event at Dragway 42. And shout out to the Matcham family, the Kyle and his mom and his dad, and Gary, both Gary Harpers, the husband and the wife. They do an incredible job with that facility. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and they keep digging on it. You know, they keep plugging away a little bit of here, a little bit of there. But you could put 1,000 race cars there, Zach, easily. Mm-hmm. You could easily put 1,000 race cars on that property and have room to park every bit of them. And it's kind of going to be exciting to see where that venue goes, because it has the feel of Bristol. And, you know, you go down. I mean, it's just awesome. And if you haven't been to Dragway 42, you should really make the Ace Ohio race in September. Definitely going to be a good time.
All right. So now we're going to go into our results from the Lone Star Summer Shootout that was held at Texas Motorplex down in Ennis, Texas. Thanks again, Paige Hamlin. You're awesome getting us out these results. Really appreciate that help. And Friday, the Lucas Oil exclusive No Box Final saw Casey Ball take the win over Jesse Cervantes, who turned it red in the final. And in the Friday Scoggin Dickey Race Shop Free Race Box Final, this was for $5,000, saw Kurt Harvey again in a final. Now, this time he was the runner-up to Russell Marr. Russell broke it out a thou in the final and was 14 up front to Harvey, who was 7, and broke it out by 4 thou. So Kurt Harvey's on a tear, ladies and gentlemen. We're just going to keep saying his name. This is his fourth final round on a Friday in the last month. He did it at the Texas Triple Tens, at the Great American Bracket Race, and now at the Lone Star Summer Shootout. And Friday, they had a 64-car shootout sponsored by Brodix. Saw Kyle Gibson take the win over Jimmy Wenger. Now, Kyle, he was in a modest, you know, dialed dragster. He's dialed 419. In the final round, he was trips and put it one over with a 4. So nice driving to Kyle Gibson taking the win there in a, you know, in the slow car. Brodix had a 32-car shootout they sponsored as well, and that saw Lewis Cleveland taking the win over Tyler Thorpe. And they had the KNP Plumbing Shootout Showdown for $1,000, and the winner for that was Lewis Cleveland over Kyle Gibson, whose name we just mentioned a little bit earlier. So Kyle getting it done in the shootouts. Oh, okay. It was both shootout winners were doing a runoff Saturday with no time trial for an extra $1,000. So that's a pretty awesome deal that they put together there with that sponsor, KMP Plumbing. Okay, they had a best package run, and this was the K&N $1 million time trial. So the best losing package got a weekend entry into the Spring Fling Million last year. That includes the $1 million race and all of the other races. And the winner for that was Stephen Hughes, who broke up. There was a 4-way tie for that until he had a 12-pack. So Stephen Hughes paying his way to one of the biggest races of the year in 2020. Saturday, Lucas Oil exclusive 32-car no-box class saw Justin Cervantes take the win over Jake Howard, who, of course, will be mentioned on a big money race final round in Texas off the bottom bulb, of course. Cervantes in the final, though, gave Jake 6 total to get in on. So not a lot of love there for Jake Howard in the final. Yeah, Saturday,
Justin Cervantes.
Cervantes.
Yep, Cervantes. It's just one of those things that I learned in Texas the hard way because I said it that way and Gleghorn laughed at me. So.
Okay. Saturday, Tom Thorpe Transports main event. Corey Coffey took the win for $10,000 over Justin Cervantes. Correct? All right.
I'm so proud of you. Good job.
Thanks, buddy. So he gets to the final off the bottom bowl and almost takes the $10,000. Saturday, Scog and Dickey Race Shop last chance race. Saw Aaron Gee take a $1,000 win over David Fazandi.
Yeah, I have no insight on that one.
That's what I'm going with, is Fazandi. I'm sticking to it. Saturday, Dixie House Cafe, Lucky 8. And it looks like Jeff Lopez took the win over Hunter Patton. And Sunday's race ended with 12 racers left in the no box class. Was in the final, and they had a strong storm come through. So all the racers decided to split the money. And that is it for the Lone Star Summer Shootout. So great event, put on there. I know Tommy Phillips puts that on, does a great job. Saw he even won the practice tree race, and then threw his winnings that he got on the winner's purse for Friday. So I thought that was a pretty awesome move by him, and he's an awesome guy and has made his way in racing now for a lot of years. And it's great to see him get to put on such a great event that all the racers I'm sure love to go to, because Tommy's a generous guy and a guy that is going to put on a race that is going to be fair and well run for everybody. So awesome job to all down there at the Lone Star Shootout.
We're going to roll right in to our big interview today. The one that, people are sitting at home saying, God, stop with the results. Get to Chet Dragon. Chet Dragon, everybody. So on the phone with us today is a guy from Huntington Mills, Pennsylvania. He's a young, ripe age of 63, and he brought out his two-barrel carburetor, home-built, altered, and cracked him for $20,000, and he put all the little guys on his back and said, come on, go ride with me. We're going to do this. Everybody can win. Doesn't matter what you come in. You don't need a $90,000 dragster. Chet Dragon, the legend to be in the making, and really, it's been made for a long time. It's just televised on Motor Mania and Drag Racer TV, but Chet, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for joining us, and I don't think we've ever had somebody so sought after by the podcast listeners who they want on this week. So you're it, man. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. It's a pleasure to be here. We're just kind of sitting back, kind of riding this wave, and still hard to take in what happened. I've chased some of these races, but not that many of them, and this happens to be the biggest one that I've ever hit.
Well, man, it was awesome to watch, and we really appreciate you joining us, Chet. And so if you would please, just to start off, tell us everything that you think we need to know, the listeners need to know about your path in racing, that's taking you up to this point.
Well, I started out around in the mid-70s, I guess I would say. I had a Chevelle that I used to race, and I wanted to kind of move up a little bit. And at that time, these little alters in our area here, there was a few gentlemen here that had them, and they were doing very well with them. Carl Brucher from Carbondale and Alan Yant, he used to race at Maple Grove. And they were winning, and I decided, well, I think that's the car of choice that I wanted to try and have. And I decided I wanted to build my own car. So I took some measurements of Alan Yant's car. He left me to go over it, and it all kind of started from there in the garage. Basically, didn't really have any fancy tools to do anything with. A lot of stuff was done over with a rubber mallet to bend the aluminum, and I had a guy that bent the tubing for me, and we used a regular old notcher at the time, an old Williams notcher to notch the tubing, and then S&W did something. I bought some stuff from S&W. They did the front axle. They supplied me the rear axles for it, and it took a little while to build. It never did anything like that before. I was always into fabricating and welding from the job that I had, but nothing like this. So after probably about a year and a half, we brought it out. At that time, I did want to go a little bit faster. The car came out. I had a different engine in it. The car ran 940s. It ran for a while, and then I started to have some problems. The engine was wearing out, and then I wanted to go racing real fast. So what I did was I had an old engine sitting in the corner, took it out, put it in, or took it out of the garage, put it in, and I was hoping the car would make it down the track. First pass on the car. The car went 10/30s. I said, this is pretty neat. I don't hardly have anything in this engine. I'm going 10/30s. I'm going to stick with this. And we started winning races. That was in 1988. And that was probably my best year in 1988 with that old scrappy motor at that time. From July till October, we were in 16 finals and won 12 of them.
So, it was nasty.
75% is not too shabby.
That was, that was unbelievable. So then we decided we were going to build a different motor for the car, but we weren't going to go that fast with it. We were going to keep it slow. So S&S Speed Center, Bob Strunk at the time, I had him do the machine work. I kind of knew what I wanted to do for an engine. And we put this thing together. Basically, it's the same engine that's in the car today. This was, I would say, early 90s now, around 1990. And then we put it in and decided we wanted to go to Moroso. I wanted to hit the Moroso races and try them. So we put it in, we fired it up, we set the timing, and we took off to Florida. We didn't even know what was going to happen. Got down there late. They had a lot of rain, started the races late. We ended up pulling in. They asked me which race I wanted to get into. Didn't know what they were talking about at the time. I said the first race. Little did I know that all the two races got rained out at that time. So the first race was actually starting on the third day because we got there late. And then made a time run on the car. At that time, we weren't even allowed to use delay boxes up here in Division One. Put the delay box in, went down there. The third race that got into it, we got down to three cars, and then I ran out. So I've been around a little bit. Then when I took a break for 15 years, I think everybody forgot about those days.
Life happens.
Yes. Yep. And then when we did come back out, I can remember when I first came back out, I probably knew about three or four people at the racetrack. Everything's changed. And at that time, before I came back out, I came out to see if we would be competitive. And I couldn't believe how fast the cars were going. Heck, when I quit racing, an 840 car was a quick car. And now they're going mid sevens. I'm like, wow. I says, I think I'm going to slow this car up a little bit more. make it a little bit easier target for them dragsters. So this is where we're at today.
And you kind of hinted on it there. Whenever I really enjoy catching up people like yourself. You've kind of seen it, you know, from the old five bulb trees to now where we've got TruStart, you know, to compare apples to oranges. What innovation do you think along the way has changed bracket racing the most? I mean, the delay box was huge, obviously, but you know, we've got torque converter technology, rear end technology, chassis setups. What do you think has made the biggest impact on the innovation standpoint?
I would say you can go out and buy your combination today. I would say that'd be the biggest thing. If you got the money, you just can go out and buy it, and you can go out and you could run the number. You still have to cut the light, but you know, the cars just, they all run the numbers anymore. Back years ago, you had to do a little bit of work to get the chassis to work. You had to get your combination right. I think that's the biggest thing today. As far as the delay boxes go, that kind of leveled the playing field, made everybody good. But boy, there's some good foot breakers out there yet also.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to ask this question in probably a different way than some would think, because I've seen it from the other side. The first track championship that I won, I was in the sevens in my car with a $25 set of valve springs on my 355. We changed them to a $100 set the next season and picked up a tenth and a half. But anyway, so I want you to tell me, as far as your combination now, what do you think your biggest advantage is?
I'd say just the speed on the track. You know, the dragster is trying to judge me. I can't judge them. They can't judge me, but I rely on my car running the number. That's how I dial it. I don't care about the guy in the other lane. And there's times that it's cost me that I've run out when he was broke. Mirrors help there. That's probably my biggest innovation is the mirrors. Took me a long time to decide to put them mirrors on the car, but when I did, that made a difference.
So yeah. whenever I called you to set this thing up, I kind of hinted, you know, like, I thought you were going to do this at the fling, but I think what you did at the fling was you're just like, hey, hey, you know, here I am, just so you know, in a few weeks I'm going to come back and win 20,000. What do you take away from things like getting down to three cars at the most recognized bracket race in the country? You know, does that drive you while you're in Ohio at the ACE races? Does that make you want to throw your helmet and get mad about it? Or, you know, what does that propel you in any way? Or how do you take a loss like that? Because I know that was huge, and I don't think you were betting on anybody but yourself at Gallant.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you end up losing that race. If you get beat flat out, then I just kind of, you know, that's what happened. I got to get better. But when you make a mistake and you know it's your fault, then you just got to try and learn from that. I made some mistakes at Gallant. I should have lifted when I didn't. I could have made it tighter. You know, I went red. I don't know. I guess I was having a problem there for a while at night, coming up late. So I think I went up on it a little bit more that night, so I wouldn't miss it. Ended up going red. So I kind of took those factors into account, and then just the next race, try not to do that. And this race actually worked out pretty good as far as we went into the night. Was still driving decent at night, so I feel pretty good. My biggest thing is I finally found a combination that really worked. This car really is pretty consistent now. I'm pretty confident with this car now.
I'd say you have about 20,000 reasons to be.
I can't wait till the next race.
That's right. You got to keep the roll going. So take us through a little bit Saturday, kind of the behind the scenes. I mean, what would you say, you know, was your favorite round of the race? I mean, kind of how did the night progress? When did you realize that, hey, you know, I might be able to get it done here?
Well, I'd say the favorite round of the night was the last one, because that was even the best one. 4-pack.
Right.
I had a 6-pack. I had a couple other good runs under there, but I saved the, you know, that the last round was the one. It's not like I got lucky, or I mean, I had a good run. So it puts the icing on the cake.
Right. Anytime you can make your best run in the final, it's doesn't get any sweeter than that.
You know, a lot of times, you know, you might think about the money and kind of lose it a little bit in driving. I didn't really think about it. I just drove it. I have to give credit also to Mark Truskowski and Mark Morgan. They kind of helped me keep my head in the game when we were getting down in the last couple of rounds. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about anything else. And I think that made a big difference also. Just the lights and the way the car ran the whole night, it was just, I guess it was just meant to be. And then my wife, she couldn't go, so she was watching it, and she kept texting me every round stating, another one good, this, that. And then finally she texted me to one round, and she says, we got this one. So
did you ever think that you could sit at home and watch the bracket race 500
miles away?
Never.
Never. Wild?
Yep. I never would have thought that. I used to have people tell me years ago, oh yeah, your race, well, are we going to see you on TV like the Indy 500, like we could watch the Indy 500. It's like, well, I don't know if you'll ever see that happen. You know, look where it's at today.
Absolutely. So what do you, I know you've really gathered a following the last 3 months, but does it feel just a little bit better doing it in your home built crate engine, 2-barrel carburetor race car for like the little guys? Does it feel better, you know, to go out there and say, hey, you don't need a $90,000 race tech with the blown 632 in it? You know, it works. You don't need that. You know, what does that say for all of the little guys, the guy that do it on a limited budget?
Anybody can do it. All you got to have is the will to do it and say, you know, don't listen to the naysayers. How many people have told me, I got to get a different car, you got to go faster? I said, yeah, just so you can wheel me up the other end a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like they just keep going faster and faster, and that fast, you know, that faster car has the advantage of a car going 10 miles an hour slower. But when you're talking 50, 60 miles an hour difference, it's a little bit harder. Like I said, I really, really rely on the car running a number. And I always said, even over the years, if I could just get a car to run a number, I could cut the light. If I could just get a car to run the number. Well,
I have the opposite problem.
I've always been decent on the tree.
But Chet, you're speaking of the choir on my end. I saw growing up where I did it at the local track I raced at Chandler and down at Windy Hollow, a little track we ran out of Owensboro, Kentucky. Back in the day, there's still a guy racing named Butch Hare. And this guy would dial. He had homemade rear engine dragsters running seven flat, and it would dominate and run them in two classes, run pro and super pro, and win on the same night. And it was awesome to see you get it done in your altered that the way that you did. So I mean, what did you think about the fanfare that your win created at the end of the race? I mean, what do you think about the crowd all crowding around in the winner's circle picture?
I was overwhelmed. I guess they must have thought the same thing, though. You know, if you don't have a big car, that's kind of the mentality that was out there. Everybody thinks you got to have a lot of money and have a fast car, and you got to have all the big, the good equipment. I mean, my stuff is pretty decent. It's not junk, but it's not just not made to go fast. It's made to go slow like it is. And I think seeing that car, the short car with all the long cars, it was just something different. And I had actually had somebody come up to me went down there on the hill and did say that a lot of us up here on the hill that were up here on the hill, they don't have a lot that like some of the big cars down there that were there at that race. And they were just glad to see a small car, a low budget car do well.
Well, Chet, the guy that started that movement, okay?
Yeah.
He's a character. And he just joined the call. So CJ Yeager is the guy that started the whole movement on the hill. I mean, you had 80 people on the hill, and there were videos going all over Facebook, all over all the social media sites. And CJ, welcome to the podcast with Chet. You guys are awesome.
Okay. You tossed me off guard there, buddy. I put me on the spot, but if you're talking about Chet Dragon, today that will forever live is something that it's going to go down the history. Something you can tell your grandchildren, your great grandchildren. It was just no word and a blur, but mostly a blur.
And Chet, if CJ doesn't have any words, he's the weekly announcer at Norwalk, and he was pulling for you, and I don't think you had a bigger fan that night on the hill. And I don't know how many people were in your winner's circle picture, but it was all of them still there.
I could hear you faintly, but now I could hear you.
So, CJ joined the call, and I don't know. Did you hear what he had to say?
Yep. Yes, I did.
So CJ's not here anymore, but he's the weekly announcer for Norwalk. And he's downright one of the best dudes you'll ever meet, but he will also drink all your beer. Okay. It might have been what was going on that night. Do what?
I don't drink that much beer, so I don't have much to drink.
Yeah, me either, but he made up for both of us. And there was a following there was a video that went from the hill to the winner's circle. And there was a video going around the winner's circle and that poorly, poorly lit winner's circle. But, is that one of the greatest winner's circles you've ever had?
Most definitely.
You put all of racing on your back at Dragway 42. That's really the only way to describe it.
I sure didn't expect that. 2 weeks before that, didn't even know I was going there.
Really?
It kind of, the two marks that were there helping me at the end, Mark Morgan ended up buying the tickets for three people, and their friend Gene Solovey, who broke a motor a week before, couldn't make it. Mark says, "Well, you want to go?" He said, "Yeah, I'll go." So I bought his ticket, and it's history.
That makes it even better. Yeah.
And well, the thing of it was, though, when I bought the ticket off him, he told me, he said, "This is the winning ticket here."
Really?
How he was right.
it's like finding the golden Wonka bar, huh?
I swear this was it.
So Chet, tell us a racer, and since you've been racing literally for decades, tell us about one racer that you definitely, more than anyone else, you just don't want to see in the other lane.
It's hard to say. It's actually, I'll tell you, of that race down there, the cars that I ran, The ones that actually bothered me the most, and I really didn't want to see any other lanes, were the door cars. And they just run too close with me, and I'd rather run a dragster.
Really?
Yeah.
You would rather run a dragster than a door car any day of the week, huh?
Oh, anytime. They made me more nervous than the dragsters.
Wow. Well, I think it's the other way around anymore.
And when it comes down to it, generally the guy that scares me the most in the other lane is probably the guy that he might not win a lot of races. He might not even have won a race, but he'll put that package on you and put you away because you don't know if you ease up on him. He's going to take you out. So you got to run him just like everybody else. Where if I know somebody's in the other lane and they're good and I know they're good, I know I have to be good. So I'd rather run the best racers out there. And I think that's also why it seems like when I go to these races, it seems like I step it up a little bit.
Around these parts, we call those guys stabbers. They're going to take a stab at it, and sometimes they hit and sometimes they miss, and I are one.
Yeah, I've been hit by a few of them.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at Zach's questions just to make sure I don't step on it. Give us kind of a racing story that kind of just models your whole racing career. You know, maybe you went somewhere and did something, or, you know, something happened somewhere and it's just not forgettable, really. You know, is there something that kind of is like, well, that's my life. This is how it works usually, you know, because I have those a lot when things break on the side of the road and at the racetrack and all that.
I mean, I've had times, certain racetracks that I've gone to and I've always had bad luck. I've had a racetrack around here that I've gone to. Every time I went there, I broke, or else I was broke before I even got the car off the trailer. It was just like a jinx track. And finally, actually, when I had this car built, when I finally got it all done, I took it there a little bit, and then I kind of shied away from it. And then finally, one day, I says, you know, we're going to go to that track. And we're going to go till we win and get this monkey off our back. And it took probably about 3 weeks and we finally won. And that kind of made it special then. But other than that,
what track was that?
Island Dragway.
Milan?
Island Dragway in New Jersey.
Island. Oh, it's not open anymore, is it?
Yes, it's open.
Huh.
As far as I know, it is. I mean, it was open last year. I haven't been back to it in quite a while.
I mean, you've already went there and got the T-shirt. You don't need to go back and break more things, right?
You just can't get to all the tracks as much as you'd like to. I mean, it was good to me. That used to be a place where we'd go to try to make a little bit extra money to go to Moroso at the end of the year because they always paid very well. If they had the cars, and a lot of the other tracks around here would close up early and they'd stay running late. And then they used to get a lot of cars and they paid well. And we did well a couple of years before we went to Florida there. So it helped pay for some of our trip. So
that's a honey hole.
Times change.
So overall, Chad, all the tracks you've been to, which one would you mark off as your favorite?
No, I have to say Numidia. That's my home track.
Right on.
No, I can't get Domino mad at me.
Yeah, you ever seen the size of Big Vin? They call him Big Vin for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good track. Everybody's tough there. I think it makes everybody else better. When you go to other places, you hear other racers talk about that track because of it being good. You know, everybody good. And a lot of the racers that leave there and go to other tracks, they seem to do very well. And a lot of times we kind of travel in packs. I don't know how many was at Bristol or Galat or, you know, I was to Bristol a few years ago. I didn't have a good outing there. The car wasn't good either. Then I didn't go back until the spring fling at Galat. That was my first trip down there, and that's a very nice place. Dragway 42 is a really nice place. There's a lot of nice places out there. I don't want to badmouth any racetracks. Too many of them are closing up. I hate to see that also, you know. So.
Yeah, no doubt. So in the left in your racing career, Chad, I mean, what is left crown jewel-wise out there for you? What race would you if you could win, you know, after you won it, you could chalk that up and say, you know, now that I've won this, I could quit racing and be happy.
I don't want to quit racing. I just want to be happy.
Okay. Well, yeah. Which, I mean, is there another big race out there you have circled that you would like to add?
I really haven't really thought about it. These races have just started coming up, you know, in the last few years that I didn't even think I'd be competitive at them. And I seem to think now that maybe I can be competitive at any racetrack. The only thing is now I can't come in under the radar.
yeah, that's for sure.
Getting too much publicity here. And
hey, just because you made it on this show doesn't mean you made it, buddy.
Well, I guess we just have to wait and see what happens. But I've had people tell me, tech people that at local racetracks that said to me when they had some bigger money races, these people would come in. And one comment was one time was, what the hell is he doing here? He doesn't have a chance of hell of winning this. And he says, I think you took him out next round. So I kind of like being the underdog. Gives the other guys something to look up to, also the people that think they don't have a chance when everybody does.
Well, Chet, we put up on our Facebook page, we put up a picture of you in a winner circle with everybody in there, and just asked everybody if they had one thing that they would want to say, if they could tell you one thing, what would it be? So I wanted to read a couple of these so you could hear them. This one really stood out. This is from a gentleman named Jim West, and he says, not only is Chet a great racer, him and his wife, Deb McDaniels, are great people. Many of them, many, many years ago, I was young and dumb and going down the wrong path. I ended up getting a job where Chester worked. Chet took the time to help me change my ways, got me interested in drag racing. They would take me to the races with them and put me up in their camper. Next thing you know, I'm racing ET class with my Pontiac Bonneville. Of course, then I wanted to go faster, so I bought a Vega to run Super Pro. And I didn't have a trailer, so Chet helped me build one. Sure wish I was around and could shake his hand and give Deb a hug. Congratulations.
Jimmy's been a good friend for years. He works down south now, lives down south. I don't get to see him like I would if he was around here, but it touches me for him to say that.
And that's one thing that seemed to ring true in all these different comments that I was reading, is just how good of a guy and how, you know, that you and good people that you and your wife are. So that's just awesome. I want to read this one too. TJ Jordan says, he gave everyone on that damn hill located in West Salem, Ohio, on the date of June 8th, 2019, an experience and a memory that will be told for generations to come. The world of drag racing cheered as one. Can't slay the dragon.
Well, I don't have words. I can't believe, but people are on top of the hill. That does that. I guess that makes me not over the hill yet. So they're still cheering me on.
at one point, CJ had rolled like you used to do when you were kids, like a log roll down the hill from the top all the way to the pavement at the bottom. Just so you know.
Really?
Absolutely, man. I wish that one. It's crazy. Every time your wind light came on, and, you know, thank the Lord, you know, as you see baseball players, you know, point to the sky and all that stuff. And, you know, that was something that this sport severely needs. You know, we need people other than our competitors interested in this. We need people, you know, to get behind. I mean, I know you don't think you're a hero, but you know, we need people to look up to, you know, like you've got Peyton Manning that you looked up to, or you have, you know, Michael Jordan. You know, we need that following in our sport. I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, I thought it was awesome for, you know, that one night that was that rang true.
Yeah, I think I did, you know, from what I understand, I did touch some people that, you know, and some younger people. They said the kids really liked it and enjoyed it. And in particular that I had, when I got that big check and we were there and in that big crowd in there, I had, if you happen to look out at that picture, on my left-hand side, there's a big guy helping me hold that check up. And, I kind of just met him from at that racetrack. They were kind of parked next to me and I was watching him, how he was, helping out. moving the jack around and hooking up the battery charger. And when I had won, they congratulated me. And I asked him if he wanted to be in the winner's circle. And I asked him to come help me hold that check. And if you happen to look at it, you'll see the smile on his face. And he's holding that check. That touched me.
Absolutely. So New Media has two granders this weekend. You're going to show up there. What's the future for Chet look like at this point? Where are you pointing the rig towards in the coming months?
Well, actually, this weekend I'm going to Beaver Springs. They have a 5, 15, and a 75 this weekend. So I'll be to that track this weekend. That's paid for already, so I'm going there. And then the media, probably for the 4th of July weekend, they have a 10 and a 5. I know I want to go to Estes Twin 10s, probably go to Pittsburgh. Definitely like to come back to Dragway 42 in the spring or in the fall there. And I don't know. It just kind of, I'm more of a, don't really plan out a lot. It's kind of by the spirit of the moment. I'm going, let's go.
Yep.
The only thing was at this race that my wife usually goes with me all the time. This time she couldn't, and she missed a big one. But she watched it. She watched it online, and they had a hell of a party here.
that just means that you got to have another big one for her to be there for.
Yep.
So we kind of round this thing out on the lighter side, and it's kind of. I'm going to change it up this week. Lucky you. So I'm just going to give you, I'm kind of going to put you on the hot seat. Just give me one answer. It's this or that. Okay.
Okay.
And they might be racing related. They might not. So white or wheat?
Wheat.
Quarter mile or eighth mile?
Definitely eighth mile. I'll tell you what, that made a big change for me also. This car is very good in the eighth mile. Pretty good in the quarter mile. But when I started running it on the 8 mile track, it just didn't have enough power up the other end. The wind would move it around too much. But in the 8 mile, the car seems deadly. So definitely 8 mile.
So I understand this one's probably going to be more recent times, but bottom bulb or top bulb?
I like the top bulb.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Scotty or Edmund?
I say Scotty. I know more of him.
Classic rock or classic country?
Classic country.
The Spring Fling Million or Montgomery Million?
The Spring Fling Million or the Montgomery? Well, the Spring Fling Million, that's in Vegas, right?
Yep.
The Montgomery's in, I'd say the Montgomery.
You're thinking about the drive there, aren't you?
Yeah.
mountain vacation or beach vacation?
What's that?
Mountain vacation or beach vacation?
Oh, mountain vacation. I don't go to the beach.
Ford or Chevrolet?
Chevrolet.
Shield up or shield down?
Chevrolet for racing, Ford for towing.
Shield up or shield down?
Shield up when it's dark and put it down when you're on your way.
Five bulb tree or the three bulb tree?
I'd say I liked the five bulb tree better when we were going off the bottom. It seemed to give you a little bit more time to concentrate through the bottom. When it went to the three bulb, it was a lot faster. I don't think I could concentrate as quick on the, as good on the bottom as I did with the five. So if I was going off the bottom, I'd say five tree. Off the top, three bulb tree.
I feel like if it was still a five bulb tree era, I'd have just two more bulbs worth of staying in the race anymore. All right, we're gonna round this one out with a big one. Sell your house or sell the altered?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the wife that one.
Did she hear you?
No, I don't know.
Let's give her your answer before that she hears you.
She heard me. I have.
My house would go.
She knows.
You can't race a house, can you?
No, you can't raise a house.
You could sure sleep in the altar. I mean, you could. Sure, she would be put up in a nice hotel somewhere.
I could always build another altar, though. It's cheaper to build the altar than build the house.
All right. One racing quote that stuck with you through the years.
Wow, I don't know. Snooze, you lose.
Absolutely. And Chet, you didn't snooze at all. 20 grand on Saturday at the Ace Ohio event. Congratulations. I don't know what else to say other than that, because, this has been awesome. This has been everything that I was hoping it would be. Thank you for taking time out of your evening to join us. I speak for everybody when I say Hell yeah.
I'd like to, you know, thank a couple other people also.
Absolutely. This is your time.
Yeah, I'd like to thank, you know, besides the Mark Truskowski and Mark Morgan, I want to thank Gene Salovey for the ticket. For, you know, I hated for him to give the ticket up that way, but worked to my advantage. I want to thank the Barishes. They were wonderful. They said they had never had, it's been a long time since they had a time like that also. The Beauchamps, they were also great. And I want to thank Coral Drake Sr. He gave me a little pep talk that day. And when I might be old, but I'm not too old to learn or listen. So when they talk, you listen. Not absolutely. Some people think they know everything, but nobody knows everything. Then I want to thank everybody from up on the hill.
We need to come up with we need to make a name for the Chet Dragon fan club, because it is going to keep growing. I have no doubt about that. When you win every other race you ever enter the rest of your life, I'm not sure how you can ever lose again from here on out, but it'll be monumental when you do. But I did let this one squeak by me. As I've said, you know, you've seen everything from Five Walled Tree to True Start. Who's the best racer in your mind that has ever sat behind the steering wheel?
Boy, it's hard to say. I don't want to say one person and offend somebody else, so I don't want to answer that question.
I don't think it'd be offending anybody, because, you know, right now there's a big debate going between Edmund, Scotty, Biondo, both Williams brothers, Chet Dragon. You know, if you had to pick one guy that you had to bet all the money in your bank account on, what would your horse be?
Well, I'd have to say, you know,
all of them in their prime.
I personally know Peter, so, and he's accomplished a lot. And I could remember years ago racing with his dad, and I could remember his dad telling me, got two boys, and boy, are they going to be good. And boy, was he right.
So you have to go back through the, and I don't know if your wife can help you find him or not, but we did a podcast with Peter, and, you know, he kind of talks about growing up and racing with his dad and staging up for the semifinal of this high school national championship race in reverse. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. Thank you once again. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. And I hope to see you out racing soon. I hope to get out your way before too long.
Well, hope to see you at one of the races. And if not, I'll probably be maybe out your way somewhere.
Come on over. The water's fine.
You know, like I said, I might. I'd like to go back to Driveway 42. I don't know how far west I'll get, but it was it's nice to be able to travel around though to different tracks and see what they're like and see, you know, run different competitors. When you race the same track all the time and run the same people, it's different. You know, you got to step up your game when you move out and go to these other racetracks, because some of them you don't even know how they are there. But today everybody's good, so it doesn't matter. And I also, like I said, I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I did, I want to thank them all for all the help. You know, I got a really special thanks to my wife, Debbie. She puts up with me. And she's been with me through the years, so she kind of supports me pretty good. So I can't say nothing bad there. I know a lot of people that had to pack their racing in because their wife didn't want them to do it. Over the years, I know a lot of people like that. So that being said, what's next? I don't know.
you had to throw that ending in there because you just told her you were going to sell her house.
Oh, of course.
No, we're just kidding. And I mean, thanks to everybody that got this deal worked out. And obviously you don't do any social media. You don't really have high tech things. I called you and you said, what do you mean smartphone? I got a flip phone. And I said, well, does your wife have a smartphone? And you said, not really. She's got something just a little bit better than mine. It just doesn't flip. So thanks for agreeing. And man, you know, I thank you for making it known that it doesn't take, you know, a blown big block Chevrolet or a, you know, a four link dragster or a $90,000 door car at that point. You know, you did it, proved that it could be done. And I think you're going to do it again. And I don't think that I want to be in the other lane anytime soon. So Zach, Chet, was it absolutely everything that, you know, I could ask for. I know that you're very, very satisfied. And, you know, when I said, hey, let's have Chet on, you're like, yeah, okay. And then I called Chet and he's like, how do you do that exactly? You know, I'm really not into that kind of thing. And Jacob Elrod's like, there's a 90% chance that he's not going to do it. And, I mean, Jake was so adamant that he wasn't going to do it. He wouldn't even give me the guy's phone number. I had to, you know, call my CIA friends just to get a hold of him. But, he said, I've got a flip phone, you know, you just call me on that. And I said, no, not really. And, you know, his wife, I mean, it's a true story. He's got a flip phone. He's just that guy. He doesn't need anything flash. He doesn't need anything fancy. He's just there to race, have a good time, go home. And it's, that makes racing enjoyable, I feel like. And I feel like that I'd have a lot more fun if I tried to relax a little more and hang out and have a good time. But I've got a 7-year-old with a junior dragster. And it's a good time helping him and watching him grow and all that stuff. But anyway, Chet Dragon, probably my, no offense, but probably one of my favorite interviews we've done yet. But the InMotion Solutions final round. I want to know how you feel about buy runs. I want to know, what do you like to see? You like to see it carry? You like to see it re-eligible? You like to see it the winner from the previous day get the first round by random tech card draw, you know, pill draw, card draw, favorite guy in the tower draw, whatever. You tell me. Because I've honestly seen it all.
Right. And actually, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this on one before. I know I hit on it a little bit the one episode that I kind of did solo, because whenever I was at Memphis, they flipped a coin, and during the coin flip, like I didn't even know there was a coin flip that happened, and I was told to go to the other lane. And my opinion was, you know, on that is just, if they're going to flip a coin, everybody should be involved in the coin flip. There should be a clear call that both people hear, or a representative for the car hears and sees, you know, how it lands, and then it's decided. You know, so that's all. That's one thing I really like to see is just, you know, because I just look at it like you go into, like I said on that, you know, you go into casino and you're gonna go in there and play blackjack. Are you just gonna trust them on what the cards are? Or do you want to see them? You know, it's trust but verify, you know, in my opinion. And it is what it is. Nothing happened that was wrong. That's my, I'm just saying that I like to see what is actually taking place to choose to buy. And when it involves my car, I want either me or my wife to be involved in it. But anyway, I mean, in a perfect world for me, my opinion would be a random tech card draw, or you could do best light on the final time trial. I also like that. To pick the first round bye. Either way is fine. Not so much about the winner getting the bye the first round the next day. I don't know why they need that.
I don't like that. I do not like that at all. Give the guy with the best losing package the day before something. Change it up, you know.
Right.
I don't like the winner from the day before getting the bye run, because he doesn't need any more help than he's already got.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's already paid his tab for the weekend, you know. You've got 300 other MFers out here right now trying to cash in on this money. Mm-hmm. Spread the love, you know?
Yep. But yep.
At the same time, I see it. They earned it. But
right.
How much is too much, you know? And do you like the buy carrying into the latter round, or do you like it going away right there and getting completely restructured?
I'd say if somebody has the buy run going into the latter round and they care and they won the round before, then I think that they should carry it, because they didn't do anything to lose the buy that they already got picked for. But then I think after that point, you know, if it goes back to where it switches, or if you get into the latter round and nobody's is carrying the buy, you know, then it should just go to reaction time. In my previous round reaction time, whoever had the best light should get the buy. You know, of course, you know, standard rules that they hadn't had one yet. I think that's just the fairest way. And the fairest way, I know we were talking about earlier, I was talking about lane choice rather than buy, but anyway, and then as far as lane choice goes, speaking on that too, though, it should be, I think that should go to whoever had the best light the round before. In a perfect race, in my opinion, it should go to reaction time.
Yep. So we kind of want to hear what you think. You know, if you've made it this far, if you didn't just shut it down after Chet Dragon was done with, let us know how you feel it should be, because it's really a big controversy. And it's one of those things that some promoters do it differently. Some promoters are a lot alike. And I mean, everybody has their opinion about it, and we want to know what yours is. So leave us a comment on the Facebook page, wherever, however, send us a message. Thank you to everybody that shared the Chet Dragon picture and commented on it, and you guys are awesome. I mean, Chet's awesome. Everybody but me is awesome. I don't know. Anyhow,
But dude, I mean, what a what a weekend to watch that take place. I mean, it was really great to see. It really, really made me miss that I wasn't at that race. I really felt I was watching it. I was like, man, I wish I was there to see that. You know, and I think what we were like, it kind of went off of what we were talking about last week about, you know, the same, you say about the same people winning and that's why some people don't want to go. Well, I'm telling you, that's the first thing you got to do to win a big race is to get there. And if you listen to the interview, I mean, there were some great, great points that Chet made about just racing, you know, racing in your lane, worrying about yourself, not worrying about the other car. And you can win these races. And this weekend proved that. You know, between having a 630 altered with a small block running on a two barrel, winning the race Saturday to a street car, making it all the way to the final and giving Dave Connolly a run for his money on Sunday, proves that anybody can win in anything on any day. But the first thing you got to do is be there.
Absolutely. And if you weren't at the Ace Ohio event, September 5th, be there because, you know, it is incredible. And Zach, I want to kind of touch on that one last thing you said about sitting at home and watching it. Warren Evans has made huge, huge improvements to Drag Racer TV. It was formerly NHRA D3 TV. He's kind of expanded it. He's got events everywhere. He's, you know, he put a little trailer together so he can haul all of his equipment. But, you know, obviously Motor Mania is the best of the best. There is nobody better at live streaming right now than Motor Mania TV. That's it. Hands down. I mean, there's nobody else that can compete with that. But there is a price. And Warren takes his, I mean, it's not low tech, but it's low maintenance setup. There is not a pivoting camera anywhere. It's all fixed angles. But, you know, he goes out there and he does it. And he does it from a couple different locations at the same time. And, you know, a guy like him going out on a limb and saying, hey, you know, I know that, and him and Mark for Motor Mania are good friends. He's, I know that some people don't want to spend that much money. Some people do want that much money for, you know, their commercials and everything because, you know, their sponsors deserve that. But big shout out to Warren. He works his freaking tail off at this NHRA TV or Drag Racer TV thing he's doing. So if you see Warren Evans anywhere, he's always down for a good conversation. He's always good for that. He's always good to talk racing. He's always good to talk life. He's just an awesome person to call a friend. And a big thank you to him for going to Dragway 42 and streaming that event and putting live timing right there on the screen. That's awesome. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks. Mm-hmm. But that'll do it. Episode 37, Zach. We will. I'm going to go to Carolina, I think, this weekend for a 10 and a 20 and try to cash in a Duke's ride somewhere. And I don't know. My short block is complete.
Nice.
Top half is going to get put together, and I'm going to be really busy trying to make the WFCs. WFC, I think Ryan Gleghorn and I will be on the microphone, and that'll be a good time. Looking forward to being back in Bristol. And yeah, so we will see all of you in the staging lanes. Thanks for listening to episode 37, and share it, subscribe, rate, review, cuss us, praise us, whatever you want to do. Just yell at us. George Hoff finally got his stickers, by the way.
Awesome.
And, I heard so much about him not getting his stickers yet, and it got him, and I haven't heard from him yet. And I know he's got them because I sent another set of stickers to the same guy in the same state. So if you see George and the stickers, give him a little bit of crap if you would. So we'll see you all in the staging lane. Zach, I don't know. Are you going anywhere this weekend?
Nashville. That's where I was going to try to go last weekend. 5K? Not all weekend. It's just a five grander on Saturday. But it's a good payback race. And they're actually going to have two in a row. They're going to have five granders the next two Saturdays in a row down there at Music City. And the weather's looking better. Man, I got to tell you, after sitting out a couple weeks now, I'm ready to go. I'm going to go somewhere and get rained out if it comes to it, no matter what. So ready to go and looking forward to taking the Sebring Performance Throwdown Motorsports Chevy 2 down there and see what we can do at Music City. It's been a few years since I've been down that track, so looking forward to it. It's always a good time, always well ran, and it's just a neat place to race up there on the hill. So looking forward to getting out there Saturday and seeing what we can do. Hopefully be holding up a big $5,000 winner circle check at the end of the night.
All right. Good luck this weekend. Good luck to all of you going out and racing this weekend. Safe travels. Don't drive too tired. Please pay attention. And if you're in Carolina, just turn the red light on. So
there you go.
Good luck, Zach. Have a good weekend. Tell Kristen that, you know, if you guys see Kristen at the racetrack, tell her thanks because this thing would be derailed without her. Just so you know. Thanks a lot, Sherry. Mm-hmm. Thanks, InMotion Solutions. And yeah, that's it. Episode 37, that's a wrap. We'll see you in the staging lanes.